everybody. This is Stacey Harp with The Right View in conjunction with Active Christian Media. And today you've tuned into another brand new episode of The Right View right here on YHRadio.com. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for clicking on over to that URL there and logging on and listening to me. And my guests, it means a lot to me that you're doing that. We appreciate you letting us come into your home and that you actually take the time to sit behind that computer and listen to us. So just want to say thanks for that. Today, what I wanted to do is I wanted to attack an issue that many people in the church are ignorant about. And that's basically the word. The word is that they're ignorant or they don't want to look at it because it's a painful issue. And the issue is the issue of homosexuality and the gay agenda. Now, I know some of you already are probably freaking out because I use the term gay agenda, but you know what? The truth is there is gay agenda, and those of us in the church need to become aware of this agenda that's going, because it's basically, it's, you know, because of this agenda, your rights are being stripped away, and people are going to hell because they're caught in this sinful lifestyle and they're not able to repent because people aren't telling them from the church that there's deliverance, a way to get out. So I want you to sit back, and I want you to listen to our conversation, and then I want you to email me your comments, and please be polite. All right. Today, my guest is Guy Adams, and I don't know if you've heard of Guy, but he is actually a contributor to Renew America, which is Alan Key's website and organization. You can go to renewamerica.us. Guy was born in 1955, and right now he's Renew America's Deputy National Grassroots Director, and he's an analyst and a columnist. He's also a freelance writer, public speaker, and for those of us who are into the Christian activist movement, and we walk out our faith as Christians, we know who he is because he's been involved. However, he's not just that. He's also a law enforcement officer, and he's a political consultant in the Midwest. Apparently, he's very musical as well. He plays the guitar, computer programmer, analyst, and he was recently, and I think this is very cool, Dr. Alan Keyes' bodyguard in the 2004 senatorial elections. Of course, it's sad that we have to have bodyguards, but hey, you know, if you're going to have one, why not have Guy be the bodyguard? And he's done lots of other things. Mostly, he's written a lot of articles, done a lot of radio interviews and some TV appearances, and we're just really blessed to have him here because recently he was at this event that you may not have heard about unless you follow this, and it was called the Gay Games. And so we have Guy here because we want to find out what it was like because he went, and get his perspective on what's going on with the homosexual agenda. So Guy, it's a long introduction, but I'm glad that you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's an honor being on your show, Stacey. You're doing great work.
Well, thank you. So tell our audience a little bit about who you are, aside from that little bio that I read, and give them an idea how you became involved as an activist, and then what eventually led you to become involved with particular homosexual evangelism.
Well, it's a very interesting story. I came across it by accident in the 2004 presidential elections. I live in Illinois. I was trying to find some opportunities to, you know, campaign for Bush, making phone calls or whatever. I couldn't find any without going downstate to Springfield. In Chicago, they just didn't exist. So somebody said, excuse me, why don't you go help Alan Keyes? And I'm like, who's Alan Keyes? Well, he's running for state senator, or senator from Illinois, against Barack Obama. And I said, okay. At the same time, a friend of mine who was a committeeman was asked me to be Barack's part-time bodyguard. I did that twice, and I just had to leave the man because he simply can't tell the truth.
Hmm.
He says he's anti-abortion. He's not. He says that he's, you know, not sympathetic to the homosexual agenda, and he is. So I went to Alan Keyes' office. I started making phone calls. About the third day as I'm leaving, I actually bump into the man in the hallway. Oh, you're Alan Keyes. How you doing? And I told him a little bit about myself, and the next day his chief of staff called and asked me to be his bodyguard. And I was really honored. I didn't turn it down. I wish I could have done it full time. And as I was with him and as I looked up stuff on the Internet, I became absolutely appalled at the things that have been going on in our schools, our universities, our corporations, funded by the homosexual lobby, the militant gays, it is just appalling. And so the more I uncovered, the more I discovered, the more involved that I had to be until now. That's pretty much what I do.
Well, so here you are meeting Alan Keyes, and just so you know, I don't think I told you this, but my husband and I, we actually campaigned for Alan Keyes for president in 2000. And out here in Orange County, my husband was actually, I think he was the area director for all of Orange County.
Really?
Uh-huh. We even put a sign for Alan Keyes in our yard. I think I actually still have it in my garage, right next to my Prop 22 sign that I won't get rid of.
There you go.
Anyway, wow, so, okay, this is a silly question, but I'm just curious because I'm visual. Now, I've seen Alan Keyes once in person, and he's a very short guy. So, are you short, too? I'm just curious.
Well, actually, he's not really that short. I'm 6 foot exactly, and I would say he's probably 5'11".
Okay, so he is, yeah, but he, well, I guess mine's relative because my husband's 6'1".
Yeah, okay, then everybody's short.
So, and I'm 5'4", so I'm not, okay. I'm not very tall. My husband puts his head on top of mine, so it's like, well, okay. Anyways.
I'll tell you, he does have a very big heart and a very, very superior intellect, and for somebody with the kind of qualifications, you know, being on Reagan's team and all that, he's one of the most humble men I've ever met.
Oh.
Sincerely loves the Lord as well.
Well, we, you know, if you get an opportunity to talk to him, tell him that we love him and that we my husband just adores him. And we actually have, in 2000 when we were doing the stuff for his campaign, one of the kids from my church who was, I think he was about 13 at the time, was reading his book. I can't remember the title of it, but it was one of his few books. And he was
Masters of the Dream, or the one about character?
The thing, yeah, I think it was the one on character. And that kid,
that's an excellent book, yeah.
His name was Vince. He would read that book in school, and then he would defend the Christian faith in his public high school reading Alan Keyes' work. Is that cool or what?
Yeah, it's so unusual, like I say, to find that in the schools, because starting in kindergarten in many public schools, and I'm talking about thousands of public schools across the nation, they're reading books like Prince and Prince, where one prince falls in love with another prince, King and King, where one king spurns a beautiful princess and instead marries another king. And so for a kid to stand up for his faith like that is really, really precious, and he should be encouraged for that. That's really outstanding.
Yeah, his parents are pretty hardcore activists and Christians, so it's good to see the fruit passed down to the next generation, you know. So, okay, well, let's start with the most recent event you went to, so sure. You can get people to understand.
The Gay Games, the Gay Olympics.
Yeah, tell everybody a little bit about that. You got about 4 minutes.
The Gay Olympics.
Before we go to break, just so you know.
The Gay Olympics, this was, I believe, number 6. It's been in Amsterdam and New York. Never really had a big turnout. The media out here in Chicago is saying that there was 40,000 people there. That's not true. There are only about 10,000 spectators, which to fill Soldiers Field that holds 50,000 is just ridiculous. And they spaced themselves out to make the crowd look a little bigger. But basically, this is the first time in history that athletes are being identified by their sexuality and not, you know, how good they are or what sport they play or even what country they're from, as Olympic athletes frequently do. Here you have gay people. And there's really nothing gay about it. They're homosexuals. And they're coming together, united, simply because they have this one thing in common, homosexuality. And they also have something else in common, AIDS and HIV, 30% of them. Hmm. It was just terrible seeing men walking down the street, public streets, with chaps with their bare buttocks hanging out. I actually saw Chicago policemen who were gay hugging and kissing in uniform. And it just, for a week, it just turned Chicago upside down. And it's just appalling. It's just an absolutely appalling event. And there was basically no opposition to it. Peter LaBarbera of the Illinois Family Institute, Sandy Reel, you're probably aware of Dr. John Diggs. He came out, very gracious of him. There were maybe 10 of us there, and a few more protesters at Navy Pier. I don't know, where's the outrage at this? When you can invite a gay army in and say that we welcome all their contributions to society. What contributions? AIDS? Pornography? I don't know, Stacey. It's just really, it was an eye-opener for me.
Well, let me ask you something. Let me play the devil's advocate like he needs one, but Let me ask you this.
He's got plenty of them.
I know. What do you say to the person, because I get this all the time on my blog from gay activists who tell me that all I do is I paint the homosexual movement all negatively, and I never look at the nice homosexuals that don't have AIDS or who contribute to society and who have their own families and their own children and they just mind their own business. What do you say to people like that?
Well, you know, that's a relatively simple thing. First of all, Dr. John Diggs is the foremost medical authority on AIDS, and he says within a couple of years, 50% of them will have AIDS. The newest thing in Chicago, it's becoming a trend, and you're going to find this hard to believe, sex with infants. It's not enough that they have, you know, when you engage in perversion, and homosexuality is perversion. We don't hate the gays, mind you. We don't hate them. We hate what they're doing. Pretty soon that perversion, it's like addiction. It's not enough. So you need to graduate to something else. You need to move on. So now they're having sex with animals, a small group that's getting bigger, sex with infants, sex in the street in Chicago, out in the open. It's just getting more and more perverted. So I just don't believe that there are a lot of really, really good gays, because goodness is defined by morality and your contribution. And God says homosexuality is an abomination, so.
Okay.
I don't reconcile with it. I can't.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break, okay?
Sure.
Everybody, just to remind you, we're speaking with Guy Adams, who is a writer for Renew America, which is Alan Keyes' organization.
RenewAmerica.us.
Okay. There you go. Go to renewamerica.us. And I'm Stacey Harp. This is The Right View in conjunction with Active Christian Media. We'll be right back. Well, hello everybody. This is Stacey, and we are back with our guest, Guy Adams. This is The Right View that you're listening to right here on wideawakesradio.com. And like I said before, you know, feel free to email me some comments. And, you know, if you disagree with me, please be nice, okay? Because I have feelings too, you know. You can email me at stacyharp@gmail.com, or you can just go back to thewideawakes.com and you can find my website there and email me through that. Anyway, on the other side, we were talking about homosexuality and basically how a lot of homosexuals are beginning to have sex with animals and also infants. And, you know, Guy, I have to ask you something, because this is one of the other outcries I hear from the gay community that likes to engage me on my blog, is that, you know, by saying this, aren't you just painting the whole gay community as evil and just as pedophiles, when in reality, there's more heterosexuals who are pedophiles than homosexuals?
Well, I suppose it's true that there are more heterosexuals that are pedophiles, at least for now. And I'm not necessarily I don't want to paint gays as evil. Because I don't hate them. God loves them, and we love them. In fact, the activism that Peter LaBarbera and Sandy Rios did with me this week in Chicago was called the Truth and Love Campaign. We don't hate gays. And to say that, hey, by going into this bathhouse here, over 38% of you are going to get AIDS, to shut it down, that's not hate speech, but that's what they're calling it. They were intolerant. It's not intolerant. It's not loving. It is loving to say, listen, homosexuality is wrong. It's a sin. You can get out of it, like Stephen Bennett did. He was a homosexual for 13 years. Jim Finnegan, a homosexual for 17 years. Both out of it. And Stephen is married and has a beautiful wife and kids. It's a deception. Homosexuality is not a thing you're born with. It's something that you develop in your young formative years. Maybe you didn't have a father, you had a poor father, or an overbearing mother, who knows what. But we don't hate them, and we're not painting them evil. What we are doing, God says their behavior is an abomination. So we're addressing the behavior, not the gay themselves.
Okay. So, I know some of those people you mentioned. I know Stephen Bennett, and he's a very nice guy. And
yes.
He will be going to Jerusalem pretty soon, which we can talk about later if you'd like. You know what? The question went right outside of my head. It just flew out the window.
Well, when you get to be my age, 51, that happens a lot. But let me say one of the other things.
Okay, go ahead.
Not only is it overturning 2,000 years of Judeo-Christian morality and 5,000 years of basically traditional morality, it's going to overturn marriage as well. But the thing that they want most is to silence the church.
Right. I remembered my question.
Okay, I'll finish my answer after your question.
Okay, all right. Basically, before you go and talk about them silencing the church, because I'm sure you've read Janet Folger's book, The Criminalization of Christianity.
Excellent book.
Yeah. I love that book, and she's just awesome. Anybody out there, you want a good book on how homosexuality is silencing your faith, pick up The Criminalization of Christianity by Janet Folger.
There's a bunch of good books. There's Persecution by David Limbaugh.
Yes.
Homosexual Agenda by Alan Sears and Craig Osten. There's just a whole lot of these books if you really want to do some honest, research.
Yeah, there's
Marketing of Evil is a good book.
And homosexuality and the politics of homosexuality. I think it's by Jeffrey Satnover.
Excellent book. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the thing I forgot, but now I remembered, and that is tell me exactly what you guys actually did at the gay games. I mean, what did you hand out flyers? What did you do?
Well, we did hand out flyers. We handed out information. We were able actually to talk with some of them. On the very last day, it was a big media event, and there were probably only 10 of us versus maybe 500 gays, and out of that 500, I'd say 50 were pretty militant, and we were just trying to draw attention to the fact on the last day that this gay bathhouse and another place down the street called the Ram, which actually has a maze inside, like rats run through, and gay men go into this maze, and they have to have sex with other men at every station in the maze until they find their way out. Now, if that's not an evil establishment brought on by evil behavior, I don't know what is.
So, okay, let me. Did I just hear you right? Did you actually just said that men went into a maze
Yes.
to have sex with other men, like obviously anal or oral, right?
Or other.
Okay. And they had to do this until they got out of the maze?
That's correct. And the point, yes, that is correct.
Isn't that an interesting spiritual parallel to their life?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
I don't know. For some reason, it just...
But that's an excellent metaphor there.
Wow.
Very perceptive, Stacey.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
I'm going to borrow that and steal all the credit for it.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry. That just kind of is shocking to me. I've heard a lot of things. I hadn't heard that.
Well, it shocked a lot of people, but it doesn't shock the gays because the place where they're at, where the gay games was held, was right near what's called Boys Town. We're not talking about Boys Town, the traditional movie. This is Boys Town because it's mostly homosexual.
Okay.
And these type of things are not unusual for them. And, you know, we think it's just an abomination. It's deadly. It's dangerous. And if you hated gays, you wouldn't be out there saying, "Hey, AIDS is dangerous." You'd be out there saying, like, "This weirdo, Fred Phelps, God hates gays." Well, no, he doesn't. He loves them.
Right.
He just can't accept them if they persist in their behavior. He says he won't. He's very clear on that. So churches that say we should embrace diversity, which is another code word for homosexuality, that's not true. God isn't going to tolerate it. He's not going to tolerate it.
So, were you able to actually talk to any of the homosexuals? Or were there lesbians there too, or is it just homosexuals?
Well, there were homosexual men, much more so than homosexual women. And I think that the women were there.
Okay.
It's just that they're not as openly flamboyant as some of the males. We talked to them. I don't think we were able to persuade too many. One protester hit me on the head with his sign.
Wow.
Yeah, they're a very angry and violent group when you start confronting them and telling the truth. And that's basically what we did. Peter Barber and John Diggs, they told their story. We had a guy there who was a homosexual who contacted AIDS at a bathhouse. So, you know, with a speaker system, we're telling our story. And the people across the street, not the protesters, you know, they were listening. They were very quiet, and I think would probably really touch some of them. I bet they hadn't thought about that aspect of it, really.
Hmm. Well, you know, the cool thing, and this is the thing I think is very cool, is that God's word doesn't return void.
Amen.
And, you know, I have this philosophy. I was telling my husband the other day. I said, you know what, hon? Basically, what you do is you put your hand in that big bag of seed, you throw it out, and some of it's going to fall on good ground.
That's right.
You know, so.
Just like with the church, God, a remnant will be saved, and I believe that a remnant of homosexuals will be saved as well.
Yeah. Well, I always think about the most hardened homosexual activists, and I always wonder, wouldn't it be great to see what happens once they get saved?
Well, a lot of them have had. Like I've met two guys this week or during the gay games who had got saved. But the media doesn't like to put their story out because the media wants to say that homosexuality cannot be changed. But that's absolutely untrue. There are thousands of homosexuals who've changed.
Well, okay, speaking of the media, let me throw out a couple of things that I've read recently. I'm sure you've read that the two lesbians who were the poster lesbians for gay marriage, they have split. Have you heard that?
Yes.
The Goodriches. And today I was doing a search on the media coverage of it. And it's very interesting because it's very thin as far as the media actually mentioning it and pounding it like they would, let's say, if Dr. Dobson had an affair or something.
Exactly.
You know, or if Dr. Dobson and Shirley got separated and everything, it would be front page news for a month, you know.
Or longer, and be the end of his career.
Right. So, but yeah, this Goodridge, has virtually gotten no publicity. I mean, they've gotten one little article, and basically it's the same press release printed all over the place. But what I found here, and this is interesting to me, first of all, to people who don't know who I'm talking about, what I'm talking about is this couple named Hillary and Julie, who were they basically made historic news in 2004 when they were the lead plaintiffs in the case that led the Massachusetts Supreme Court to give marital rights to same-sex couples.
Amazing.
In that state. Okay, they, at the time that they were given these rights, they had a little girl who, I think she was about 6 or 7, around there. And it wasn't a big issue that they had this girl. In fact, they made it a big part of the platform that, look, we have a girl and we're family and all this other stuff. But, you know, the thing I find totally fascinating is that now that they've split, if you read the press releases, basically it says that they want their privacy for their daughter Annie's sake because, you know, because this is a delicate situation and we're not living together and we're pursuing a divorce and possibly and all this other stuff. And I was reading that, if you don't actually take a minute to actually think about what you read, you can so easily skip over that.
Yeah.
But I picked it up and I thought, you know, it's interesting. They were so willing to put Annie in the limelight when that happened, but now they don't want her in the limelight because it's a privacy issue.
Well, they're using her.
Exactly.
They're using her. And in the countries, it's interesting. I just read an extensive study. In the countries such as Sweden and Denmark, there's a couple of countries that have gay marriage in Canada. Do you know that the average marriage between homosexuals lasts just under 1.5 years?
Okay, I thought it was about 2, but
It's about 1.5. I think it is something like 1.8 or 2 for the females. But that's a scam. See, they don't really want marriage. If they wanted marriage, they'd be staying married longer. But they don't really want marriage. Why would homosexuals have an average of 200 to 300 sex partners in their life? Why, and for Pete's sake, would they ever want to be held to fidelity in a marriage? They want to overturn marriage. And one of the most dangerous and pernicious things that's going along with gay marriage, so to speak, is the hate speech laws. Now, these are laws, for example, Canada. If you criticize a homosexual or homosexuality, you could be jailed for up to 2 years. Belgium, Sweden, the Netherlands, I believe another country, 5 years. Pennsylvania, 2 years. The law in Pennsylvania is still on the books. They want these hate speech laws because they will effectively silence the church. And who's the most critical of their behavior? The church.
Yeah. Okay. And let's pick that up right after our break, okay?
Sounds great.
You're listening to The Right View with Stacey Harp, and Guy Adams is my guest, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Stacey Harp from Active Christian Media and The Right View. And I want to just let you know that was the first part of our conversation with Guy Adams that we had planned to air last week on the program, but we did a brand new live interview with him, and so you actually got the blessing of hearing the first interview. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up the second part of the interview, and that will be up later. But in the meantime, if you'd like to leave a comment, feel free to do that. You can send it to me at stacyharp@gmail.com. I'd love to hear what you have to what you have to say. So until next time, remember, the biblical worldview is the right view.